What? Yeah. I think it was Sean. I can't. I think it's gonna get picked up by the mic. Oh, Gil. That was easy. Just I gave him a boost. I gave him a boost. I just wanna. All right, you're both saying. It's good. It's hard to follow that, but all right, good. So today we are up to Baruch Hashem Daf Yud Aleph. Our shir this morning is dedicated by Mr. and Mrs. Martyr in memory of Mrs. Martyr's mother, Rebbetzin Rose Steinberg, Shoshana Rezel, Bas Menachem Mendel Yitzchak, Zichron Livrach. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, that Hashem will have an aliyah and the family in Nechama. And of course, all of our shiurim this month are dedicated by Adam and Yudit Ben Zev, Le'ili Nishmas Moshe David Ben Shalom, in honor of Helen Nachman, Adam's parents, Eli and Judy Ben Zev, and Mirat Hashem, the entire Mishpacha should enjoy Bracha and Shefa in the year and in the years to come. All right, Tabosa, with that, let's begin. A lot to do today. Yashkoch to Yehuda for giving the shiur yesterday. We are picking up. Thank you. We are picking up on the bottom of Yud Amud Beis. Bottom of Yud Amud Beis. So today's daf is Yud Aleph. We're picking up 10b, 5 lines up from the bottom. Actually, 7 lines up from the bottom. So Amel Amru Daya Shaita. So let's remember again. So just we keep on referencing back to the Mishnah on Zayin Amud Beis. And here the Mishnah said, Bema Amru Daya Shaita. In which situation did we say Daya Shaita? Beri'ia Rishona. Only concerning the first Re'iyah. However, but once you're past the first Re'iyah, so presumably what we're saying over here is as follows, that regarding the women who we apply the concept of Daya Shaita to, Daya Shaita only applies to a first Re'iyah. But if there are continued Re'iyos, then those continued Re'iyos are ultimately governed by the rules of Me'isleis, which means we back up her nida status for 24 hours or until the last bedika. And of course, remember, as we'll reinforce once again today, the ramifications of these halachos are expressed vis-a-vis taras. Right? Over here, we're talking all about the halachos concerning if she handles taras and what we do retroactively with any taras that she may have handled within the last period of time. So Amar Rav, Rav says, Akulu. Rav says that this statement, that Daya Shaita only applies to the first Re'iyah, refers to all four women mentioned in the Mishnah. Right? All four women, going back to the beginning of that Mishnah, which is the Besula, which would, again, in this context means a girl, a young girl who has never seen Dam before, Me'ubaris, a pregnant woman, Menika, a nursing woman, and Zikina, and an old woman. These four women, Rabbi Eliezer said, are Daya Shaita. They're only Daya Shaita vis-a-vis their first Re'iyah. But after the first Re'iyah, they revert back to the normative halacha of Me'is Leis. So it says the Gemara, that's Arav. Ushmuel Amr Shmuel says, Lo Shana Ela Besula Zekina. Shmuel says, no, this only applies to a Besula and a Zekina. Ava Mu'uberes Umeinika, Prabose Mu'uberes and Umeinika, Dayon Kol Yemei Iburon, Dayon Kol Yemei Minikusan. This is actually very interesting, that the Shmuel posits that for a pregnant woman and a nursing woman, because really their status, their physiological status, is one of misulekes damim, that ultimately, again, they do not have dam nida, therefore, halacha lemaisa, they have a daya shaita status the entire duration of the pregnancy and the entire duration of the menekes. Remember, again, we saw last week, there's a little bit of machlokes about menekes, right? Is menekes a metzias related to actual nursing, or is menekes a status related to 2 years after birth? So we saw that machlokes already. But however you come out on that particular issue, the concept would be the same. V'chein, Amr b'shim ben Lakish, akulum. Plus, we see another machlokes. Rish Lakish says that the statement that Daya Shaita only applies to the first Re'iyah applies to all four women. For Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan says, no, lo shana ela besulo zekino. He holds that the concept of that Daya Shaita only applies to the first Re'iyah, that's only for besula and zekino. Ava mu'uberes umeinika, dayon kol yemei iburan, dayon kol yemei minikusan. So we'll say we see a fundamental machlokes. So here's what we have. We'll say we have an opening statement of the Mishnah, of Rabbi Eliezer telling us that there are four women whose status is governed by the concept of Daya Shaita. the four women being the Besula, a girl who never experienced, who never became a Nida before, never experienced menstruation before, Uberes, a pregnant woman, a Meinika, a nursing woman, and the Zakena, an old woman. Those four women, Rabbi Eliezer says that Halacha Lemaisa, if they bleed, we assume daya shaitan, which again means what? That the blood, her status changes now. At the time of her ri'iyah, we do not back up her status for a period of time retroactively. The end of the Mishnah gives a qualification. And the end of the Mishnah says, oh, daya shaitan applies to what? Applies to what? To the first ri'iyah. But any subsequent ri'iyos don't have daya shaitan, but rather again, they're me'es leis. We now have a machlokes as to what the qualification applies to. Some say the qualification applies to all four women. Any of these women, the first three is daya shaitan, subsequent ri'iyos are no longer daya shaitan. And then we have a second opinion that says, no, the qualification only applies to two out of the four. Namely who? To the zakena and to the basula. So for a girl who never menstruated, so the first time she gets her period, Salocha Lameisa will say Daya Shaita. Subsequent, Me'is Leis. Zikena, first time she sees blood, she'll be Daya Shaita. But if for some reason she sees blood again, she's no longer Daya Shaita. But Me'uberes and Me'nika are always Dayan Shaitan, right? Their status as such that they are always Daya Shaitan, even if they see dam multiple times. To which the Gemara says, Ketanoi. In reality, this is a machlokis tanem. Me'uberes u'minika shahayu shofos dam u'baos. If you have a me'uberes u'minika, a pregnant woman, and a nursing woman, shahayu shofos dam. So Rambam says, shofos literally means flowing. But flowing over here in this context just means you're having multiple ri'iyos. Right, shofos dam u'baos. Dayan kol yimei iburan. So also Rebbe Meir seems to be quite explicit. Rebbe Meir holds that the status of daya shaita applies all the time during the days of pregnancy and nursing. So we'll say the logic over there, the logic is that ultimately, again, by Me'iburan, we know that if she's pregnant, then ultimately, again, it can't be dam nida. So that's by the pregnancy. By the nursing woman, so we saw two different possibilities. Either because dam ne'ech ar v'na'aseh chalaf, according to one opinion, that it's the blood that becomes the milk. So as long as she's nursing, ultimately, again, there's no dam nida. Or evereh misparkin, that there's physiological trauma as a result of childbirth. The body does not return back to its normal state until 2 years, 24 months out, and therefore again there's no nida. This is Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir holds that no matter how much a pregnant woman bleeds, no matter how much a nursing woman bleeds, it's dayan shaitan. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehud, Rabbi Osei. So again, I just want to be clear. Rabbi Meir is holding these women could assume the status of nida. This is very important. They can assume the status of nida, but halacha lemaaseh, the status only changes as of the time of the ri'iyah, and ultimately, again, is never backed up retroactively. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Shimon Omrim, lo amru daya shaitan ela b'ri'iyah rishona. They disagree. These rabbis, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Shimon, hold no, daya shaitan only applies to the first ri'iyah. But ultimately, again, from the second ri'iyah and on, ultimately, again, they become tamei like a regular woman, either me'es la'es the last 24 hours, or me'pikida la'pikida, ultimately, again, to the last padikas. So Rabbi says, remember, again, we're talking over here at din and taras. So the Rambam happens to paskin in this case over here, like the first opinion, like Rav, namely that halacha lemaisa, the qualification of the Mishnah actually applies to all women. That the concept of dayan shaitan for these four women only applies to the first ri'iyah. But if there is a subsequent ri'iyah, then their halacha becomes like any other woman. Namely, again, we back up their status retroactively to the lesser of the two, either me'is la'is or mipikida lepikida. Good. Vimrasa rishona. So also remember again, this is actually now we're going to get into a very interesting sugya. So remember the Mishnah said, listen to this. A qualification on the qualification. Vimrasa harishona me ones, af hashnia daya shaita. So let's say here, look what we've established. Right? This is actually really, really fascinating. So we've established number one is Rabbi Eliezer's statement, four women are dayan shaita. Right? Who are the four women? Besula, Me'uberes, Me'nika, Zekena. Now we've qualified that ruling. What's the qualification? Daya Shaita only applies to what? First ri'iyah, right? Doesn't apply to subsequent ri'iyos. qualification on the qualification. When is that true that Dayah Shaita only applies to the first Riyah and not subsequent Riyos? That's only if the first Riyah, Imra Sarish, that's only if the first Riyah was quote unquote a normal Riyah. But if the first Riyah was what the Mishnah calls Machmas Ones, was a result of some type of extenuating circumstance, then Halach Lamais, in that case, even the Riyah Shnia will have the status of Dayah Shaita. So let's analyze. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Huna, Shabbos say, so as we're going to spend a lot of time on the sugya of Ones. Now, Ones in this context really means as a result of some type of external factor. Remember, we've already seen that external factors can have an impact on a woman's menstruation, right? We've seen that. Remember again, we saw the case last week where a woman was in hiding, she was in fear, she didn't do her bedika during her veses. We assume that the fear takes away the dam, she's misulake as damim. So what we're gonna spend a lot of time on these sugyas, getting into the impact of external stimuli on her menstrual cycle. So Rav Huna, listen to this. Kaftsa verasa. This is an interesting case. A woman jumps and she sees dam. Jumps and sees dam. So this happened three times, where she jumped, became an ida. Kavala vesas. She has established a vesas, right? The vesas means a pattern of regularity. To which the Gemara says, okay, vesas lemai. What, the vesas for what? So both remember again, there are two things. So ilei maliyamim. So if you want to say that she established a regular pattern regarding days. So in other words, let's say, so we're saying that she established a pattern to see every 30 days, every 21 days, every 26 days. Ha kol yom de lo kafitz lo chazoi. That can't be why. Because it's not the days alone that cause her to bleed, but any day that she didn't what? That she didn't jump, ultimately she didn't become an ida. So the Gemara says, ela l'kfitzos. Rather, you have to say that she established a veses for kfitzos, a veses for jumping, which means a veses that says that every single time she jumps, she becomes an ida. But one second, v'atanya, kol shetikavana machmas ones, afilu kama yapamim, lo kava veses. So we'll say, but yet we learned in the Braisa that what? That any time that she establishes a pattern of regularity for ones. So we'll remember again, an ones in this context means as a result of some type of external reality, this does not establish a veses. So Gemara says, my love, lo kava veses klal. Does the Braisa not mean that she can't establish a veses at all, which is jumping? The Gemara says, no, lo kava veses liyamim luchudayu, u lekfitzos luchudayu. Ava kavala veses liyamim, ulekfitzos. Oh, Rabbos, listen to this. So ultimately, again, you can't establish a veses just of jumping, right? There's no such thing as a veses that says every single time a woman jumps, she becomes an ida. But what you can do is create what we call a hybrid veses. A hybrid veses is one that combines external stimuli and time. So you could create an external veses that says every single time she jumps on the 30th day, then halacha lamaisa, she becomes anida. Now obviously the only way to establish a veses like that is how? Is for it to happen three times. So the Gemara says, aval kavala veses liyamim ulekfitzos ultimately works. To which the Gemara says, okay, liyamim luchudayu pshita. They will say, now in this particular case, it goes without saying that halacha lamaisa, I know she can't establish a veses just for days. Now, I just want to point out, the way the Masechta is working, Maseches Nida, is the first parak front loads us with a lot of concepts. All the concepts we're going to see, like Vestos, we haven't touched the Vestos. But yeah, we've seen, remember, so I just want to point out, you're getting a lot of the topics we're going to cover in the Masechta, and each of them is going to be given its fair share, right? It's fair time. So it's a little bit of the cart before the horse in the way the first parak is structured. So the Gemara says as follows. So when it comes to days, so the Gemara says, Liyam l'chudai pshita. Avishai Bo saying in this case, it is clear that she can't establish a veses just for days, because it's not just the day that ultimately, again, is establishing her veses. So Liyam l'chudai pshita. Amravashi kagon. The kafetz bechad b'shabes v'chazoi. Listen to this, is incredible. Rav Ashi, what's the case? The case is where she jumped on Sunday and she saw blood. Kafetz bechad b'shabes v'chazoi. She jumped on another Sunday. And I was saying, Whether the next Sunday ultimately again is a week later or 4 weeks later, it doesn't really matter. Let's assume right now she jumped a month later on a Sunday, and what happens? V'chazay, she saw blood. B'shabbes kavtza, we'll say then the third time what happened? The third time what happened? She jumped on Shabbos, v'lo chazay, but she didn't see anything. U'lechad b'shabbes chazay b'lo kvitza. And then on the following Sunday, she saw blood, but without the jumping. Without the jumping. So I say, so what do you do with a case like this? Now the tema, what would you say? Then I both say, when looking at this, what would be you would be tempted to say what? It's the days that are goreim, not the jumping. Vaharaya. The third Sunday, she saw without jumping, right? So you see, okay, so the fact that it happened to be that she jumped the previous two Sundays, fine. I will say, but La Mesa again, the fact that on the third Sunday she saw without jumping indicates to us that it's the day that establishes the vest. That's not anything else. Kamash Malan, let's listen to this. Therefore, the Gemara would say in such a case like this, Kamash Malan, Dikfitza Nami De Esmol Garma. To which the Gemara says, what do you see from here? It's not like that. In fact, it is the kfitza of yesterday. It's Shabbos' kfitza, right? It's Shabbos' kfitza. It was the jumping of Shabbos that ultimately caused her to bleed on Sunday. The haidelo chazoi. Aye, so why didn't she see any blood on Shabbos? Mishum dakatilo matazman. Ultimately, again, because the time for jumping did not yet come. So, Rabbi says, what the Gemara says is like this. This is actually quite fascinating. We're not going to accept this girsa lahalacha, but the havamina is fascinating. The havamina is she jumps on Sunday, sees dam. She jumps the next Sunday, sees dam. The third Sunday, she jumps on Shabbos, doesn't see anything, sees blood ultimately again on that Sunday. So we'll say, so I might have thought that what? It becomes clear that the Vesses is Liyamim and not Lekfitzos. V'haraya on the third Sunday, she goes ahead and she sees down without any jumping. Kamash Malon, no, it's the jumping on Shabbos that was goring the bleeding ultimately on Sunday. That's the first Girsa. Lishnachrina. So we'll say another girsa, and this is going to be the girsa that's accepted halacha lemaisa. Amravuna, get ready for this. Kavtsa verasa. Kavala vesas liyamim velo lekfitzos. So we'll say, listen to this. This is a different girsa. Let's say she jumped on Sunday and saw dam. This happened three times. Kavtsa verasa. So I'll say, see, here's what I have. I have three times that she bled. Each time she rightly was preceded by jumping and occurred on the same day. So that what's the halacha, says the Gemara? In this case, she's established a vesas for days, but not for jumping. Hey, dummy. So we'll say, so why does that make sense? Right? At the end of the day, if it's three times the day and jumping, that should establish a vesas for days and for jumping. So Amar Ravashi, what's the case? Here we go. The kafetz bechad b'shabbes v'chazoi. The kafetz bechad b'shabbes v'chazoi. U'b'shabbes kafetza v'lo chazoi. U'lechad b'shabbes achrina chazoi b'lo kfitza. So we'll say, so what's the case? What's the case of where jumping doesn't establish its veses? We'll say that's the case. She jumped on Sunday, saw dam. Second time, jumped on Sunday, saw dam. Third time, jumped on Shabbos, didn't see dam, and then bled on Sunday. So we'll say, what does that clearly show you? That clearly shows that halacha lemaisa says it's not the jumping that ultimately again was the koveya, but rather again it was the day. So we'll say, therefore halacha lemaisa in this particular case, where again, she jumped on Sunday, saw dam. Jumped on Sunday, saw dam. Jumped on Shabbos, didn't see dam. Saw dam on Sunday. The way we interpret that series of events is that she has a veses liyamim and not likfitzos. Which Rabbi Say tells us that what? That if she were to jump on the third Sunday and see dam, then what? She would have a veses for kfitzos and yamim. There is such a thing as a veses that is a hybrid model between what we'll call calendrical, between time and external stimuli. A woman can create a veses like that. So again, we'll see that in Hilchos Vestos, but at least for our purposes right now, if on that third Sunday she doesn't jump, but she jumped on Shabbos and she bled on Sunday, we don't interpret it to mean it was the jumping on Shabbos that was going the bleeding on Sunday, and therefore she did establish a veses for kfitzas and fiyamim. Rather, we take it to mean that what? Jumping was never part of the equation. The veses ultimately, again, is the days. Incredible. Says the Mishnah, Afapi, Shamrudaya Shaita. So the Mishnah goes on. Even though we said daya shaitas, even though we established that what? That there's a concept of daya shaita, Rabbosai, specifically. Now remember, Rabbi Eliezer brought up the concept of daya shaita by the four women, right? The Besula, the Zekina, the Meuberes, and the Meinekes. Even if you don't, so let's assume, that's Rabbi Eliezer's four. There's a greater school of thought that also agrees with the fact that daya shaita will apply to any woman who has a veses kavua, right? Any woman who has an established cycle, a regular cycle, will also be daya shaita. So again, there's much more buy-in for that concept. Why? Because, you know, we'll say that's intuitive and logical. Rabbi Eliezer's sheet is also intuitive and logical. But the idea is if a woman has a veses kavua, which means, again, she becomes an ida at regularly scheduled times, so to speak, salach alamaisa, there's no reason to assume that the dam appeared any sooner than she saw it. So that's the Mishnah's going. Ava bishamar daya shaita. Even though we said that a woman who has a veses kavua ultimately, again, is daya shaita, tzicha lihios bodekes. She still has to do bedikas. Bedikas when? Rashi says, b'chol yom shachris ve'arvis. She still has to do a bedika, even if a woman is a veses kavua, right, a regular cycle, she still has to do bedikos every morning and every evening. So again, what's the context here? What's the context? Taras. Remember again, we already saw this, that when a woman is handling taras, there was a rabbinic enactment. If you are handling taras, you do a bedika every morning and every evening. So now that's what the Mishnah is saying. Even if a woman has a veses kavua and she's daya shaito, she's still going to have to do bedikos every morning and every evening. That's the halacha. Chutz min hanida v'hayosheves al dam tohar. Both say with the exception of what? Exception of anida. Chutz min hanida v'hayosheves al dam tohar. Now both say, let's analyze this for just a moment. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Chutz min hanida. Mishe ra'asa yom echad t'meya shiva. V'inatzvicha b'dika kol shiva shari b'lohri yehi t'meya. So we'll say, what the Mishnah seems to be saying is like this. A woman who's anida, No messaging. All right, a woman who's in Nida, I will say ultimately, again, once she sees dam on the first day, then what? Then halacha lemaisa, she is, it's just, I can see everybody's smile on the chat. It's whatever you sent out, I see the, so the Gemara says this, and I know it's not me. It's nothing actually that's remotely humorous. So the Mishnah says like this. The Mishnah says that once one becomes a Nida, so she's Timea. Once she's Timea, Rabbi say, then what? Then there's no reason for her to do any kind of bedikos, right? Remember again, the whole concept of a woman handling taras, doing a bedika in the morning and in the evening, is a din to see her status. Once one becomes a nida, remember again, nida da'oraisa goes for how long? 7 days. So once one becomes a nida, she's Timea. Well, once she's Timea, we don't need any bedikos. And Rabbi say, remember again, on a biblical nida, is a woman is a nida for 7 days. At the end of 7 days, she goes to the mikvah. Whether she bleeds for 2 days, 3 days, 5 days, 7 days, as long as she's no longer bleeding by the end of the seventh day and can go to the mikvah, that's it. So there's no point in doing a bedika during those days. Similarly, hayosheves al dam toar. So let's remember again, we're going to get into this a little bit. This is a fascinating biblical law, which is that when a woman gives birth, there is mandated tumah and then a prolonged period of tara. So for example, a woman gives birth to a boy. So what's the halacha? For seven days, she is tumea. From days eight through 40, she is tahora. The rabbis say, what that literally means is that even if she is bleeding, that is what's called dam tohar. That's not nida blood. Again, we're going to discuss that. She is tahora. For an akeva, for a girl, again, everything is just doubled, right? She's tamea from days 1 through 14. That's the days that she's tamea. And then from days 15 through 80, she is tahora. So the Mishnah says over here that essentially, again, a woman, even though, so let's follow the structure of the Mishnah. So the Mishnah says that halacha lemaisa, If a woman has a vest as kavua, she's dayashaita. Even if you're dayashaita, you're still doing bedikos twice a day, once in the morning, once in the evening for taras. But there are certain women who are not doing a bedika. Why are they not doing a bedika? Because their status is already preset. So for example, if a woman is a nida, her status is preset. Right? It's preset. There's no point doing a bedika. If a woman is, you're supposed to listen to this, what happens if a woman is in Yimei Tohar? Let's say again, she's in day 8 after giving birth to a boy, or day 15 after giving birth to a girl. She's in Yimei Tohar, which means even though she's bleeding, what's the status of that blood? It's Tar. It sounds strange to us because we associate, again, blood with Nida. But again, this is, we no longer really have this concept anymore of Dam Tohar, of the halachos of Leda have fundamentally changed for us. We'll see why that is, because we have essentially blended the halachos of Nida and Zivus into one. So it's one big construct now. But again, the Mishnah says, therefore, if a woman is in her Yimei Tohar, we don't do Bedikas either. Why? Because what's going to happen if you do a Bedika during Yimei Tohar? What is a woman going to find? What is she going to find? Bepashas blood, especially in the beginning of Yimei Tohar. But yet again, it doesn't make a difference. Why? Because that blood is Tahar. Quite incredible. So we'll see this in Gemara. U'mishameshes be'edim. So this is actually very interesting. Mishameshes be'edim means that halacha l'maisa, before having relations with her husband, she has to do bedikos. So actually look at Rashi over here. Mishameshes be'edim. Afa pishesh l'veses. So this is going back again to the woman who has a veses. Even if a woman has a veses, right, has an established cycle. Tzricha l'shamish be'edim v'livdok lifnei tashmish u'le'achar tashmish. Even if a woman has a veses kavua, a woman must do a bedika before relations and after relations. And I both say, understand, what's the context here? Right, the context is taras. This is not halacha l'maisa contemporarily. Right, so both say, just so you understand, contemporarily, this is actually very important. In general, the halacha says, we always try to make sure that a woman never does more than the mandated number of bedikos, because we don't want a woman doing too many bedikos, more than the halacha requires, because often you could get yourself into halachic, you know, quandaries for no good reason. This is all talking about taras. If there's a woman who's handling taras, ultimately, again, she's doing bedikos before and after relations. We'll see the reason for that in the Gemara. With the exceptions of who? A woman who is in the midst of her days of Dam Tohar. There's no need for a woman who's in the middle of Dam Tohar to ultimately do a bedika. Why? Because even if you find Dam on the bedika, still what? Still what? She's Tar. Because she's in that period of time where Dam Tohar. Ubesula Shedemetra will say. Now again, so this is also quite fascinating. Besula Shedemetra also means, we're going to get into the sugya of Dam Besulim. Dam Besulim means if a woman is Besula, so more often than not, there is blood as a result of initial acts of bia, but that's not dam nida. That's a result of the rupturing of the hymen. That's a result of the rupturing of the besulim. That is not dam nida. Now, I will say how we deal with that in halacha, we're going to see. But again, I will say that's not dam nida. That's what's called dam maka. That is blood that is what's called the result of an injury. So blood that is a result of an injury is not dam nida. So therefore, again, the Gemara says ubesula shedameh tahorin. So both say we're going to see. Rashi already points it out over here. Ubesula shedameh tahorin dalid leilos di ena tzvicha l'shamish be'edim shari damatar v'afilu neshtanu mara demeh ahol b'shem. So both say we're going to see that for a besula, we assume that there's a certain amount of time that there could be bleeding as a result of the rupturing of the besulim. In other words, we assume that it's possible that the hymen is not totally broken as a result of the first bia, and therefore there could be blood as a result of subsequent bia. So we're going to see how long that status extends to, but halacha l'maaseh that's not dam nida. So therefore a besula is also not obligated to go ahead and do bedikos before and after bia. Why? Because even if she sees dam, that's not dam nida, that's going to be dam besulim. Upamim, tzvichelios bodeke shachris uben ashmashas. So we'll say, and there are times when ultimately, again, a woman has to upamayim. She has to check twice, right? Upamayim tzvichelios bodekas. She has to check twice a day. Shachris ubein ashmashas. We'll say again, talking about the woman by taras. What is the bedika for taras? The bedika for taras is once in the morning and once in the evening. Ubesha she overes l'shamish as beisa. And I'll say, whenever she That's a euphemism. L'shamesh es beisa literally means, and whenever she's going to go have relations with her husband, she requires a bedikah before that as well. So again, remember, I can't say enough, the context over here is taras. This is all taras. We're beginning to see that halacha l'maisa, when a woman is handling taras, there is a heightened obligation for her to make sure that she does not have any dam. So yisir slangal, lest you think that this is machmir, right, if a woman is handling taras, Kohanos, right? Female, right? Kohanos. So we'll say, who's a Kohanes? A Kohanes is the wife of a Kohen, the daughter of a Kohen, essentially, which whoever is a woman living in a Kohanic household, and therefore, by definition, permitted to partake of whatever a Kohen is permitted to partake of. So too, Kohanos, b'shah shein ochlim b'truma. Whenever a Kohanes is going to eat of truma, that also warrants a bedika. So the Tanakhama understands that before she eats truma, she has to do a bedika. Rabbi Yehuda Omer af b'shas avrasa milecha b'truma. So remember, we saw this last week. Rabbi Yehuda holds that halacha l'maisa, she has to do a bedika when she finishes eating as well. Remember again, why does the Kohen have to do a bedika when you finish eating as well? Leftovers, excellent. Because this way again, if she sees dam, remember again, if she sees dam sometime later on, the way it works, Abosai, is what? If you see dam sometime later on, we back up your status till when? Till the last bedika. Well, the last bedika she did was before she ate shuma. This way, in order to ensure that the leftovers are okay, we have her do a bedika after she finishes eating. That way, even if she sees dam sometime later on, we back up her status retroactively, you'll back it up to the bedika done after she finished eating, which shows that the leftovers were mutter. Beautiful. Says the Gemara, chutz min anida. So we'll remember again. So the Mishnah said, even if a woman has a veses kavua, right, still, even if a woman is, and therefore she's daya shaita, if ultimately, again, she's engaged in taris, she still has to do bedikos. To which the Gemara says, with the exception of a nida, right? Because again, the assumption is, chutz min anida, de besoch yemei nida salo bai bedika. Because we'll say the assumption is that once she's in the days of her nida, there's no need for her to do a bedika because she's temeya already. So we'll listen to this. Hanichal Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. So we'll say this makes sense according to Reish Lakish, who says, Rabbi, so this is going to be a sugya on, you can see the Mesorah Sashas quotes this as a sugya on Daf Lamed Hey, Daf Lamed Tes. So we'll see this later on, but just for our purposes today, Hanichal Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, Tomer Isha Kova'as Laveses, Besoch Yimei Zivasa, Ve'ein Isha Kova'as Laveses, Besoch Yimei Nidasa, Shapir. El Rabbi Yochanan, the Amar Isha Kavas Laveses, Besoch Yimei Nidasa, Tivdok, Dilma Kavala Veses. So we'll say this is a fascinating machlokes, which I'll explain now, but will be ma'ayin and later on, which is, can you establish a Veses once you're already a Nida? In other words, we'll say, let's see halacha l'maisa. Essentially, the way this case kind of plays out is like this. She bleeds, becomes a Nida, stops bleeding, and begins to bleed again sometime in the 7 days. Can she establish a Veses inside of the days of Nida or not? Remember again, Abosai, we'll see that there are different ways or different opinions as to how the Nida Ziva status go ahead and, or I should say, days line up. But what we know is like this. Certain days of the month that she bleeds, we'll look at it as Dam Nida. Other days of the month that she bleeds, we look at it as Dam Ziva. Everyone seems to agree that halacha l'maisa says she could establish a Veses during the Zava days, during the Ziva days. The shail is, can she go ahead and establish a Veses during the Nida days? So this is a machlokes. Reish Lakish says that a woman cannot establish a Veses during the Nida days. If that's the case, then I understand why there is no need for a bedika. But according to Rabbi Yochanan, who says that a woman can establish a Veses even during the Nida days, she should have to go ahead and do a bedika. Rabbi Yochanan will say, "Ki amina ana hecha dechazise mima'ayon sasum, ava chazise mima'ayon pasuach lo amri." So Rabbi Yochanan essentially says it like this: when do I say that halacha l'maisa, a woman could establish ultimately a veses even besoch yimei nidasa? That's only what he calls when a woman sees from ma'ayon sasum. Rabbi said that would be a case where ultimately, again, there was no previous bleeding. But if she was already bleeding, Rabbi Yochanan would say that halacha l'maisa, she does not establish a veses for those purposes. Okay, like I said, we're going to see that sugya later on. But for our purposes today, halacha l'maisa, the Mishnah is set up in a situation where it applies according to everyone. According to Reish Lakish, according to Reish Lakish, the Mishnah makes sense because one would never have to do a bedika during Yemeni Dasa because you can't be Koveya Veses Pesach Yemeni Dasa. And Rabbi Yochanan would have to set it up in a case like this. He says, when do I say that a woman could establish a Veses Pesach Yemeni Dasa? That's only if she wasn't bleeding previously. But if she was already bleeding, then Halacha Lamaisa, I would agree that she cannot establish a Veses Pesach Yemeni Dasa. Good. Vayoshevis al Dam Toar. So we'll say next case. And if a woman is in the middle of Dam Toar, so she's in the middle of the days where Dam, where blood ultimately again is Tahar. So the Gemara says, so Kasagadaitcha Mivakeshes Leisheva Dam Toar. So we'll say, I assume that the case that we're dealing with over here is like this. We're talking about a woman who gave birth. She wants to leave the days of Dam Tuma, of Dam Tame, and transition into the days of Dam Tohar. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Mevakeshes leishev kishakalin yemei leida kigon b'shvi'i lezachar oyom yedalin in the keva lo baya bediga dafilo in aroa hitameh. So we'll say, listen to this. So the Gemara says, so we're assuming over here that when we say that a woman who is Yosheves al Dam Tohar doesn't need a bediga, that what that means is like this. She doesn't need a bediga to transition from Yemei Tumah to Yemei Tohar. We'll say, let me explain this for just a moment. I'll illustrate this in a contemporary way. A woman becomes a Nida today. So the way we assume Hilchos Nida works is how? For 5 days, she is considered to be in a state of active bleeding. And then the next stage of her process is Shivanikiyim. How do you transition from the 5 days of active bleeding to Shivanikiyim? How do you transition? A bedika, what we call a hefsek tara, right? What does that hefsek tara do? That hefsek tara, we'll say, creates the physical evidence that bleeding has ceased. And what happens if a woman doesn't do that bedika, that hefsek tara? She can't begin shivanikiyim, right? If you don't do hefsek tara, you can't begin shivanikiyim. So therefore, we'll say, so the Gemara says, I would have thought that maybe halacha lemaisa to transition from the days of Yemei Tumah to Yemei Tara, after childbirth, you should require a bedika as well. To which the Gemara says, no. Right? Mevakeshes leishev adam toar. What the Mishnah is teaching me is that what? Even when she wants to transition from the Yemei Tumah to the Yemei Tohar, no bedika is necessary. To which the Gemara says, Hanichel Rav da'amar mayan echatu hatar tamasav hatar taras or shapir. So it's according to Rav who says, you know, both say the novelty of the Torah's halachos of childbirth is what? It's the same blood. It's the same blood. Just what? The same blood that the Torah, suppose let's say she gave birth to a boy. So what does the Torah say about that blood for the first 7 days? It's Tameh. And then from days 8 through 40, the Torah says, it's Tar. Why? Because the Kadosh Baruch Hu said so. Same blood, same exact blood. Kadosh Baruch Hu said, here it's Tameh, here it's Tar. So this makes sense. That's why I don't need a bedika. I don't need a bedika, right? A woman doesn't need a bedika, because what is the bedika going to do? It doesn't make a difference. This is a shaila of categorization. Kadosh Baruch Hu says it's categorized as Dam Nida for the first 7 days, or Dam Leida for the first 7 days, and Dam Tar for the rest of the days. Ela lelevi dam reshnei ma'ayon osein. But according to the Rebbe, we'll say, now what it means literally is Levi says it's two different wellsprings. So we'll say Levi's not saying the blood comes from two different places. The blood comes from, but Levi's saying categorically there are two different types of blood. So because there are two different types of blood, therefore what? Tivdok. You should require ultimately again a bedika. Because we'll say in Levi's model, what has to happen? There does have to be a cessation of blood. There does have to be a stoppage. The dam leida has to stop in order for the dam tohar to begin. Dilmakati lo pasik. Ultimately, again, dilmakati lo pasik. Hahu mai on tameu. So the Gemara says. So maybe according to Rav, who says that it's all the same blood, but the Torah just classifies it differently. So there's no need for a bedika. You don't need a bedika. All you need is a calendrical reality. Once 7 days pass, and it's the 8th day. Poof. It's Dam Tohar, but according to Levi, who literally says, no, it's two different types of blood, you should require a bedika. You should require a bedika because in order to be able to begin Yemei Tohar, you have to be able to demonstrate that what the Dam Tameh has stopped. So Levi will say, Hamani. Rabbi will say, whose opinion does this reflect? Amud Beis, Beis Shammai. It is Beis Shammai. What do Beis Shammai say? Da'amri ma'ayon echatu. Thank you. Right? Beis Shammai says that it's one mayon. Fine. Ustam lontanaka Beis Shammai. Shabbos, are we setting up the Mishnah to reflect the view of Beis Shammai? That's strange. We wouldn't normally set up a din like Beis Shammai. Stam va'achakach machlokes. Shabbos, really, this is a case of a stam, of just a stated statement, and afterwards a machlokes. V'chol stam va'achakach machlokes ein halocha kistam. And I will say, ultimately, again, whenever you have a stam and then a machlokes, the halocha doesn't follow the stam. V'ibay saying, I will say, the other possibility is, ki katoni mivakeshes leishev. I'm sorry. V'ibay saying, mikatoni mivakeshes leishev. Does the Mishnah say they were talking about a woman who wants to begin her Yemei Tohar? Yosheves katoni. Rather, it's saying that what? She is already in the midst of her Yemei Tohar. So we'll say, the other possibility is, so here's what we know. We have a machlokes about how a woman begins Yemei Tara. Right? Here's what I know. Let's just go with a boy, just to keep it simple. I know that a boy is born, Mazel Tov, mother is tummy for how long? 7 days. Yemei Tara go from day 8 to day 40. That I know. What else do I know? I know that there's a machlokes about how she transitions. Right? The machlokes, we just said over here, that's a machlokes, ultimately again, between Rav and Shmuel. Right? Rav is going to say, there's nothing needed for what affects the transition? What affects the transition? The calendar, time. That's it, time. Same blood, it could be that there's never a cessation of bleeding. Days 1 through 7, that's dam tomei. Days 8 through 40, that is dam tohar. That's just, it's just a categorical change. Levi will say no. Two different, quote-unquote, ma'ayonos, two different bloods, and therefore, again, in order for Yimei Tohar to begin, she has to stop bleeding from Yimei Tumah. Therefore, you require bedika. That's machlokes. The Gemara is suggesting it could be that our Mishnah chooses to sidestep that machlokes. We're not getting involved. I'm not getting involved in that machlokes. So who are we talking about? We're talking about a woman who is what? Already in Yimei Tohar. So what are we sidestepping? How she got there, right? How she got there is a machlokes. Mishnah saying, I'm not dealing with that. What I'm telling you is, Mikatan, so the Gemara says, Iboy Seima, Mikatan Mevakeshes Leishev, are we talking about a woman who wants to begin Yemei Tohar? No, Yosheves Katani. We're talking about a woman who is already in Yemei Tohar. So we're sidestepping Rav and Shmuel. I'm not getting involved in what has to happen for her to enter into Yemei Tohar. She's already there. And therefore the Mishnah is telling me that what? Once she's already there, Halach HaLamaisa what? She does not require any bedikos during Yemei Tara. Why? Why? Because she'll do a bedika and she might find blood. But even if she finds blood, what? It's still called dam tara. It's not a problem. So the Gemara says, okay, iyo sheves ma'amor. That's obvious. Why do I need the Mishnah to tell me that? Of course, the Bosei Halach HaLamaisa, if she's in Yemei Tohar, so remember again, Yemei Tohar means that any blood she sees is tahar during those days. So obviously, during those days, there's not going to be any obligation for a bedika. Why would the Mishnah have to teach me that? Now, what would you have thought? Tivdok. I might have thought that Halach HaLamaisa, she should still do bedikas. Why? The Dilma, Kavala Veses. We'll say maybe she'll establish a Veses for herself through the bedikas during those days. Kamash Malan, the Ma'ayan Tar, the Ma'ayan Tame, Lo Kava. We'll say incredible. So what is the mission coming to teach us? You can't establish a Veses during Yemei Tara. Fascinating. Or as I will say, you can't establish a Veses during days, what we call L'mayon Tar, from Tar blood to Tame blood. Right? A Veses is a din in Nida. Nida is a din in Dam Nida. The blood that she's experiencing now is what? Not Dam Nida, it's Dam Tara. So therefore the Mishnah is coming to teach you that you can't establish a Veses from Dam Tar to Dam Tame. Incredible. So that makes it, according to Levi, who says that it's two different springs, so to speak, right? Two different sources of Dam. And literally the Dam that she sees during these subsequent days is Dam Tar. El Rav Domer and Mayon Echadu Tivdok Dilma Kavala Veses. But according to Rav, who says that it's all the same source of blood, she should do Bedikas, because maybe she could establish a Veses. Afilu hachi mimei tara limei tuma lo kava. So we'll say ultimately again, so even Rav will agree that Halach HaLamaisa, from days of Tara to days of Tuma, you can't establish a Vesa. So Rabbi says, so therefore it turns out, so first of all, again, and we'll see the Machlokes, Rav and Shmuel, but a dramatic Machlokes, Rabbi says, about what has to happen for a woman to transition from Yimei Tuma to Yimei Tara. Rav telling me what has to happen? Nothing but the passage of time. Shmuel telling me that Allah Chalamaisa, no, it actually requires what? A bedika, because the Tamei blood has to cease so that the Tar blood can begin. Our Mishnah, totally sidestepping that particular discussion and teaching me that what? Once a woman is in the days of Tahar blood, she need not do any bedikas. Aye, what's the chiddush? Of course, you're not going to do any bedikas. The chiddush is that you might have thought that she could establish a veses during those days, kamashon, that she cannot establish a veses during those days of Yimei Tara. Incredible. Umishameshes be'edim. So, boss, remember again. So, what did the Mishnah say? The Mishnah said that halacha lamaisa, so a woman also dealing with Taras is also going to go ahead before she's with her, before and after she is with her husband. Halacha lamaisa, she has to do bedikas before and after Bia. So, says the Gemara, Mishameshes be'edim, tnan hasam. Tinokes shalohi gias manaliros venises. So let's listen to this. What happens if a young girl got married? Even before her regular nida cycle set in. So what happens? Beishamai. So we'll say. So now what happens? Beishamai. Or Beishamai says nos nila arba lelos. So we'll say. So now what's going to happen? We assume that she's going to see dam as a result of the first bia. But that is not dam nida. So we'll say, so how do we deal with that dam? So the Gemara says, Beis Shammai says, we give her 4 nights. So we'll say, what does that mean? That ultimately 4 nights means is we assume that any dam that occurs from the first 4 nights of Bia is dam besulim, right? Is blood as a result of the rupturing of the besulim and not dam nida. But we'll say, just I want to point out, we deal with dam besulim very differently today, right? The way today, contemporarily, we paskin that a woman becomes a nida as a result of dam besulim. Again, we'll talk about how all of this morphs late when we get to these sugyas. So we give her 4 nights. So we'll say any dam from the first 4 nights, we attribute to dam besulim. So the unspoken statement of Bisham would be, and after 4 nights, we would assume that what? That had already become dam nida. Ubeisom Beisilol says, Achetichya amake. Beisilol says, this is not a din in just kind of like imposing calendrical constructs or time constructs. We look as to, she'll know. Is this a result of besulim? Is it not a result of besulim? Meaning this is a physiological reality that she could ascertain. So therefore, we attribute the blood to dam besulim as long as she is not healed. Rashi says over here, Hamaka makas beila de chosman shete roe dam mach mustaches dam besulim. Fine. I'm Rav Gidl, I'm a Shmuel. So Rav Gidl said I'm a Shmuel. Shabbos says, let's analyze this. Lo shanu ela. When do we say, right, this is commenting on Beis Hillel. So Beis Hillel will say, potentially gives a much larger window than Beis Shammai, right? Beis Shammai says 4 nights. Beis Hillel says, until the wound heals. So technically speaking, if she's bleeding for a much longer time and it's a result of Dam Besulim, halacha lemaisa. Ultimately, we attribute the blood to that. So Rav Gidl comes along and qualifies Beis Hillel. I'm Rav Gidl, I'm a Shmuel. Lo shana ela shala paska mach mastashmish. V'ra'asa, I'm sorry. Lo shana ela shala paska mach mastashmish. V'ra'asa shalom mach mastashmish. So ultimately, again, says Rav Gidl as follows. When is Beis Hillel true? When ultimately, again, she has always seen blood as a result of tashmish, which means there's never been an act of relations that has not resulted in blood. So every single time the husband and wife have been together, she's always bled. So therefore, that's what Beis Hillel says. We assume that the consistent bleeding is a result of what? Is a result of the besulim. And furthermore, v'ra'asa shalom machmas tashmish. Look at Rashi. Kilomar, afilu chaza v'ra'asa b'yom shalom machmas tashmish, mechaskin ala b'dam besulim ho machmas tashmish shalom paska. I will say, this is incredible. So if Gidl will say like this, Beis Hillel holds that when do we attribute a dam to dam besulim? As long as what? She's bleeding every single time as a result of relations. Right? There's never been an act of relations that hasn't had blood with it. Furthermore, Beis Hillel will go so far to say that even if she's seen during the day, we will also attribute that blood to what? to dam besulim as well. So let's say husband and wife are together at night, right? And she sees blood, and she's always seen blood every time they're together. And then during the day, she also sees blood. We assume that what? That blood is dam besulim. Rabbi, and I remember again, this is a very specific case of tinokes shelo higia zman. This is a young girl who is getting married before she ever became a nida. So that's in this specific case, where halacha lemaisa, Beis Hillel is going to say, we attribute all of her blood, ultimately again, to dam besulim. Assuming that what? There's never been an act of intercourse that has not resulted in bleeding, to the point, therefore, even if she sees dam by day, we're going to attribute that to dam besulim as well. Aval, paskamach mastashish. Rabbi said, if there was an act of relations and she did not bleed, vira'asa, and right, and then she subsequently sees blood at a different time, tamea. Ultimately, Rabbi say, in that case, she'll be surrounded. Rabbi say, according to Beis Hillel, which makes sense, once halacha lemaisa, there is an act of relations without blood, and if she were to subsequently see blood at a different time, she were to bleed at a different time, then what? We're going to treat that as dam nida. Avar laila achos below tashmish virasa. So let's listen to this. What happens if the couple, let's say again, Abbas says, here's the case. They get married. So they're together on Sunday night, she bleeds. They're together on Monday night, she bleeds. Tuesday night, they're not together. Wednesday night, they're together and she bleeds. What's that halacha? Tameya. Ultimately, Abbas says, in that case, ultimately again, she'll be tameya as well. Dishtanu mare damim shala. If the blood itself changed appearance, then what? Tameya. Ultimately, it's going to be tameya as well. So we'll say if the blood looks different, then again, the Gemara is going to, Bryce understands that's indicative of the fact that this is now dam nida and not dam besulim. Fine, that's our Bryce. Master Rabbi Yonah. So Rabbi Yonah raises a shayla on this. He says, ubesula shedamea tahorim. So let's remember again, we said that ultimately a besula, we said before, as you said before, that a besula whose dam is tahor doesn't require any type of bedikas. So the Gemara says, but I don't understand why is that. Amai, to shamish be'edim, she should still be required to do a bedika. After all, why? The dilma nishtanu mar dam mishallah. The Brisa just said that what? That if the blood changes appearance, that itself is indicative, you know, it's panim chadosh os ba'olakan, right? That it's a different kind of blood. That up until now it's been dam besulim, now maybe it's dam nida. So the dilman is time mara dam mishallah, so she should have to do bedikas. Amarava, ema reisha, so we'll say, understand the reisha as saying as follows, chutz min hanida v'hayosheves al dam tohar, would exclude the nida and the woman who is in the midst of dam tohar, dilobai bedika. Ava besula shedamea tahorin bayin bedika. Also, inachinami, the Gemara suggests that a besula would require bedika. Why? Because also, the Brisa just told me now, introduced it to a new concept, which is that if blood changes form or changes color, then halacha lemaisa, that becomes dam nida. So if that's the case, then a besula should be required a bedika. Ela kashina adati. But here's the problem. Now we have a contradiction. To which Gemara says, no contradiction. Kansha shimsha de'ema shamash achran. So we'll say if she had relations, then there'll be no requirement for her to do subsequent bedikos. Why? Because we'll say it's possible that even if the blood changes color, the blood changes color as a result of the bia. But halacha lemaisa, if she's not having relations, that would be the case where she would be required to ultimately do a bedika. Because in that case, if the blood changed colors, inachinami, that could be indicative that this is no longer dam besulim, but this is dam nida. That supports this. When is this so? Shela paska machmas tashmish. So we'll say, when do we assume ultimately that she does not require bedikas? That's when ultimately the blood machmas tashmish has not stopped. V'ra'asa shelo ta'achas tashmish. So we'll say, remember again, if they're engaging in tashmish, right, and she's bleeding every time, so we assume like Beis Hillel that is considered to be dam besulim until when? Until the wound heals, right? Beis Shammai gives 4 nights. Beis Hillel says until the wound heals. And Beis Hillel even goes so far, or of Gidel's interpretation of Beis Hillel goes so far to say that what? That even if she's seeing blood during the day, in between the nights of Tashmish, we still assume that what? That blood is dam besulim and not dam nida. Aval, paska machmas tashmish. Rabbi says, if halacha lemaisa, she was with her husband, and she didn't bleed, v'ra'asa, and then she sees blood, tameya. Ultimately, again, she will be tameya. So we'll say that's case number one. So case number one is, if she's with her husband, and there's no blood, and then she sees blood, that blood will be tummy. That'll be damnida. Similarly, Arver Laila Achas below Tashmish, if Rabbo say they weren't together one night, Virasa, and then she sees blood, Tameya. Ultimately, again, she will be Tameya as well. Nishtane Mare Damim Shala, similarly again, Rabbo say Palacha Lamaisa, appearance, thank you. The appearance of the dam changes. Ultimately, again, she will be Tamei as well. So, both say, so just first of all, you should know we paskin like Beis Hillel, that halacha lemaisa, dam besulim is in effect all the way until the wound heals. I will say now, for contemporary purposes, it doesn't really make a difference because we treat dam besulim like dam nida. Again, we'll see that. So, again, we'll understand why that is. But again, in a pure form, we paskin like Beis Hillel, that in Achinami, as long as she continues to bleed machmas tashmish, she is considered, that is dam besulim. And as long as that continues on, even if it continues on, I will say, way past 4 nights, that's dam besulim. When does it stop? The moment that she no longer bleeds machmas tashmish, the moment that she no longer bleeds machmas tashmish, we'll say is the moment that dam besulim comes to an end, and we assume any subsequent dam ultimately is going to be dam nida. Good. Pamim hitzricha. So pamim hitzricha. So remember again. Let's just do 2 more lines, then we'll stop for today. So as I remember again, the Mishnah said if she's dealing with taras, how many? What is her bedika schedule? Pamim bayom, twice a day, once in the morning and once in the evening. So says the Gemara, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Loshan El Letaras. So we'll say, now the Gemara says it explicitly. When do we have this mandated twice a day bedika, Rabbo Sai? This is for Taras. Aval Labayla Muteres. Rabbo Sai, to her husband, ultimately, again, she is mutter. A woman is permitted to be with her husband without any bedikas. Right? There's no warrant, there's no obligatory bedikas before a woman is with her husband. Right? No such concept like that. So Pshita, to which the Gemara says, this is obvious. Shachris Tnan. Now this is quite fascinating. So the Mishnah says, the Gemara says, of course we're not talking about relations because it's saying that she's doing a bedika in the morning. Now Rashi says over here, because relations are prohibited by day. We're going to understand the context of that. But relations are not necessarily prohibited by day. Relations are prohibited in an undarkened room. So we're going to discuss these halachos. Again, part of what we'll see in the Chosin Rabbo say is there is an etiquette and there is a tznius for everything we do in life. Just because a man and woman are permitted, are married and permitted to engage in a meaningful, intimate relationship with one another, does not mean that there are no rules, right? There are halachos of tznius that govern even our relationships with our wives. So therefore, again, both say, so again, we're going to qualify this point. But for our purposes right now, the Gemara understands that the fact that it says that you have to do a bedika shachris, and again, a couple's not together, b'shachris, again, we'll qualify that, indicates they're talking about by taris, ultimately, again, and not by hill, and not by intimacy. So the Gemara says, "Shachris nana ella I itmar seif itmar." Rather, the emphasis is referring to itmar. We'll say we just 2 more lines, and we're going to stop. So the Gemara says, "Ubishashi overas l'shamish as beisa." Ultimately, again, I'll say, because remember, the end of the Mishnah says that what, and ultimately, again, when does she do a bedika? When does she do a bedika? At a time ultimately that she goes to be with her husband. When is that true? Lo shanu ella. So remember again, on one hand we're saying that the din of bedikas that we're espousing in the Mishnah is a din by taras. Yet the Mishnah says explicitly that what? When does she go to do a bedika ultimately? When does she do a bedika? When she's going to be with her husband. So which one is it? Here we go, Abbasai. El bisha suk b'taras. We are talking about a woman who is engaged with taras. Demigo de baya bedika la taras, baya namin bedika la baila. Avalina asuka betaris lo baya bedika. So both say the Mishnah is espousing an incredible rule. An incredible rule. Which is under normal circumstances, does a woman have to do a bedika before she's with her husband? No. It will say, in fact, not only does she not have to do it, but the halacha says, do not do that. Do not do that. We don't want if we have a construct like that, then what? It creates an incredible amount of anxiety, halachic anxiety, around intimacy. We don't want that. But yes, something amazing happens. That if a woman is already doing bedikas al taras, remember, when is she doing bedikas for taras? When? twice a day, pamayim, one in the morning. So once you're already doing bedikah zataris, you should also do a bedikah before you're with your husband. Incredible. Rashi says, "Be good to buy bedikah lataris lachar tashrish shemaras lachar tashrish buy a bedikah labay lothei tashrish." So we'll say, since ultimately, again, she's already doing a bedikah after she's with her husband and for taris, she should do a bedikah beforehand as well. To which the Gemara says, "My kamash malon." So what are you coming to teach? So we'll stop over here for today. Okay, so what's this? You just understand we're ending off with something dramatically amazing, right? We go out of our way to say that the bedikas, there's no bedikas before, under normal circumstances, before a woman is with her husband. Now what we're saying is that halacha lamaisa, once she's already doing bedikas for taras, there's going to be an additional bedika obligation ultimately again for tashmish, the qualification and scope of that, Amir Hashem, to be continued tomorrow.